Life with the Girlfriends with Christine, Maria, and Julie, where we're literally in a time warp because time is going by so incredibly fast that I can't even believe it's mid-April.
April
2023.
Yeah.
Life is going by so fast. And it's funny because I was listening to Sam.
Sam Harris.
And listening to Sam Harris and then also listening to Jordan Peterson. And Jordan Peterson has this gentleman on, professor, you know, of talking about cosmology and planets and how the solar system began. And then
that's kind of exciting stuff, though.
Yes.
I just, you know, years ago, I would just tune that crap out.
Yeah.
But now
I'm
just
like, which is so bizarre to
me
because it's funny to think that years ago you would have tuned that stuff out when you're such a player in the game. I mean, okay, no longer UFOs. What are the hell are called?
UAPs.
Unidentified aerial phenomena. Yeah. Okay. You've witnessed UAPs. You've probably had contact with interdimensional beings. And so the idea that at a scientific level or the mainstream, you're like, those novices don't know what the hell they're talking about. I don't know what they think they're doing, but I've witnessed, I've seen the mountain, I've seen the vista, I know what it's all about. So I get it. But it was interesting because
puff. I'm smoking.
Well, you're also very cool because you've decided that your vision is much better now when you wear your amber aviators in the house, which I doubt. I think it more has to do with the persona that you take on.
Yes.
Which is, you must respect my authority. You have to.
I do it for my inner and outer being.
And there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, I just slip them on and all of a sudden, it's kind of like if when Clark Kent goes into the phone booth.
Yes.
You know, and he comes out.
And you're
Superman.
Like, exactly.
So these are that's why my yellow aviators.
Good.
Yeah, but I'm actually going to get different colors now. I think.
Why?
I just feel like what if I'm in a blue?
That's true.
What if I'm in a purple mood?
Yeah. Yeah. Not the amber.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's funny because right now my phone just texted.
Yeah, I know.
And Norm is in charge of the phones right now. And I don't see him looking at it and seeing. Oh, he did look and see. He came in and see what it was. Is it something important I need to look at? Oh, it's fine. Okay, hold on, everybody. And we're back. There we go. Okay, good. And so now I can't remember. But I was respecting your authority.
Yeah.
Life is good. But listening to Sam Harrison, because his new podcast is all about they basically take bits and pieces of all of his work and they take it and go deep in a subject. And his subject is existential annihilation and nuclear war. That's kind of what his big conversation is. But
have you listened to that?
A little bit. But the underlying topic of it, which I find is very interesting, is that they talk about, now I don't know if, I believe it was Sam Harris's podcast that brought up, is it the Bowen formula, which basically means that there's like thousands of possible species out there or civilizations that have reached our level.
Was it the Drake?
Drake, that's it. The Drake formula. Yeah, thank you. And then
Enrico Fermi.
Yeah, he says, well, where are they? And it could be it could be that we're at the beginning levels, you know, that, you know, they're coming, you know, and so forth.
And they also, the possibility exists that they are already gone.
Already gone.
And we're one of the last.
Right. And the reason why is that what this podcast was kind of leaning towards, which I thought was fascinating, was this idea that there are, not governors, but like I say governor because it's like on a car, on a truck, they put a governor on so you can't go too fast,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, but you've been saying a kind of with British accent.
Governor. Yeah.
Governor.
Hello, governor. Yeah, I know. I don't, that makes no sense, but that's how I've been saying it. But this idea that every civilization gets to a point technologically advanced where they can blow themselves up.
We are so advanced that now we can kill ourselves.
Now, and at some point, we must have, as a group, as a whole, we must evolve our consciousness to a lot, you know, to go beyond that. And that's so interesting because I talk to you about this all the time. It's like
you do.
You only need a couple of a-holes to mess everything up and throw a lot of chaos in the world.
It's so true because they make the rules for the a-holes.
Yeah, we make the rules for the a-holes, right?
Because that and because you would never ever do something like that, but then you come up against this, like how did they get this stupid ass rule in place?
Right.
That's kind of what FedEx is. I'm just throwing that in.
Yeah.
Is that you have a lot of rules in place because probably some a-hole.
Right.
Did that.
Yeah. And then I flash back to my dad rolling his body over the belt.
Yeah. Well, speaking of a-holes, you know, Dad was at a new car dealership.
Uh-huh.
And as he was backing into the dock in his FedEx truck, a porter in a brand new car decided to go back drive between a brand new car between him and his truck and the dock.
Yeah.
And of course Norm crushed the new car.
Yeah.
I want to call that an a-hole move.
On whose part?
Yeah. Well, it was preventable.
I was deemed preventable by FedEx, even though I was like, I'm going to fight it, which I know I can't fight it. It's pointless.
Yeah.
But I feel like I need to support my father that I'm like, I'm going to fight the man on this because this is just nonsense. The guy messed with us and it's going to cost us 10 grand, most likely.
Yeah, probably.
And it just feels like another kick in the gut, really.
Yeah, yeah.
It really does.
Yeah.
But going beyond that.
Yeah, because it's just a misalignment.
It's just a misalignment.
Yeah.
So I was talking to you, though, about how I feel with the planets. Like, we're getting close to being a stage one planet, which is being able to control our weather and fend off from any asteroids, meteorites hitting our planet, and because those things are the ones that cause the reset.
Right.
Yes, volcanoes can as well,
but the major resets are the asteroids.
The asteroids. And because last year we sent a rocket, moved that one out of the way. I'm like, oh my God, we did it. We're getting closer.
We sent a rocket that was sort of going to maybe thinking about. Coming close to colliding with the planet.
Yeah, I mean, the other problem is
I know
we might have put it on a new trajectory to have somebody else's planet, but it is what it is, right? There's a lot of space out there that we're working
we're
with.
We're co-creating.
and they'll have to catch up as well. Now, I say we're getting close. I mean, we might be 100 to 200 years away from that, but that's still pretty awesome.
But you're talking about time, baby. I'm talking about time. Compressing time,
I'm talking about time. Wanting to be around to see all this stuff on one hand and on the other going, I don't know how it's all going to work out. I don't know. Maybe my light body will be able to witness it. I don't know how it's all going to work out. But then Jordan Peterson had this guy on and he was talking about how it all began. And he created a telescope that can see other than light per se or whatever. And because what it's about is detecting the heat signature that was left behind. So something very weird. And I'm listening to him because I listen to these guys as I'm trying to sleep. So my unconscious brain gets this stuff. And I'm like, at the end, I'm going, I think I'm smarter, but I couldn't tell you what it was all about. I know it's 2 hours long.
I just got
the
download.
The download,
and
yeah.
If you gave me a test, it's as long as it was multiple choice, I got a chance.
I got a 50-50 chance to get it right. Yeah. With multiple choice. Exactly. Yeah. That's how I feel.
I love multiple choice.
Me too. You know, sometimes I feel I have too many choices. So on a multiple choice test, do you like four choices in multiple choices or do you like...
I'd rather just have three.
Three. Yeah. Two seems too little.
Right.
Four seems too much.
Yeah.
Three, you're like, okay, I can work with three. Mm-hmm. It's either this, this, or this. Mm-hmm. I can do that.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
And if it's like Jeopardy, you know, the answer is usually in the question.
Yes. Can I say... I felt so appreciative towards you this morning.
Did you?
Because you caught a mistake that I had made, and you caught it in the nick of time. It was a year in the making.
Yes.
Oh,
You okay, girlfriend?
Not at all. Not at all.
Well, you know, wait, do you want to finish Jordan first? Or just,
no, I have nothing more to say about it. I find it was interesting. I you know what's really interesting about this podcast? I wouldn't mind you hearing it, because Jordan didn't say
what?
Shit with his mouth full.
What?
Which is very interesting.
Jordan usually monopolizes the conversation. Yes. He'll say, here's a question for you. And 20 minutes later,
what's your response to the question and answer that I proposed to you? You're like, I agree.
Yeah, yeah, really?
No, it was so completely out of his wheelhouse that he just let the guy talk.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, oh, beautiful. I think.
Beautiful.
That, so I do want to share another FedEx story about my dad that I hope that you guys find slightly enjoyable as I did. And that is, Daddy Norman was explaining to us that, you know, he had to do some guy's route for a week ago. And, you know, guy was on vacation. The other guy who was going to do his route was unable to do it.
We
had two guys out. So Norm was doing it. And he had to ask for signatures and person's name and to this one company. And every day he asked. And finally, it was Friday, and I guess the woman had been tired of him asking every day, because in everybody's mind, they're the only delivery they had.
Right.
They don't realize they've met 75 people before and 25 people after.
Right.
So she had brought a friend with, and he's like, "Hey, Norm, how you doing? You gonna remember my name today? You gonna remember my name?" And Norm goes,
well, she brought a friend out, too.
She brought a friend.
She goes, this guy never remembers
this
my
guy
name.
Never
and
remembers
but her name was Ariel. Just like
Little Mermaid.
The Little Mermaid.
Yeah.
So the two friends came out to the dock, and she says, let's do this to Norm today.
Yeah, they're messing with the old guy today. And so Ariel goes, "Hey, what's my name?" And Dad thinks about it. He's like, straight-faced. "I know your name. Just give me a second." Goes, "Areola."
The girls both look at each other.
"Ariel. Oh, Ariel." And then I go, "Daddy, what did you say after you said Areola?" He goes, "I just kept walking."
I had to then once engage in sexual harassment.
I think if you would have engaged like, "Oh, I'm so sorry, it's an areola," but now you can just still say, "Oh no, I'm just an old guy. I didn't know. I thought her name was Areola."
Becca, well, it could be the Italian version of her name.
Yeah, exactly. I knew it was Ariel. And I don't think my kids watched Little Mermaid. I don't think we did. I think it was not even in play until later on.
Right. I don't think so.
Yada, yada, yada. So that was our other FedEx.
Yes. From Ariel to Areola.
Yeah. Which I thought was hysterical. Life is good, right?
So do you want to share that, how I saved the day this morning?
Oh, yeah. So last year, just by coincidence, April 22nd, we bought a lawnmower.
I did it for Dad's Father's Day present.
Yes, Father's Day present.
A little early.
A little early. Well, yeah, a lot early.
Because I didn't want to end up paying for lawn service.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And you had bought more land. So you're like, I got more land to do. Let's just might as well invest in a riding lawnmower. So you bought a riding lawnmower, bought it from Farm and Fleet, had delivered on April 22nd, and you put it on zero interest,
zero,
12
zero,
months.
12 months, zero interest.
Yes. And I thought I was for sure had put it on an automatic payment plan of $400 a month.
Right.
Now, we have a ton of stuff in our businesses coming in and out of our accounts.
Yeah.
A ton.
Yeah.
So I just missed it. So as the months were going by, I thinking this was going down.
And I never noticed.
And we don't have, the invoices don't get sent to us. Right. They just get sent to
the email box. Yeah.
And us being overwhelmed with everything.
Yeah.
We just assumed it was taken care of.
Yeah. Because it's automatic payment.
Automatic payment. And sure enough, you're like, "Julie, do you know how much, it is?" I go, "No." I go, "Well," goes, "it's still like $4,000. Is Norm using the card?" I'm like, "Oh my God. Yeah. Oh my God. That can't be right." And to realize we were only paying the minimum payment monthly.
Yeah.
And so now we're going to have to pay. It's going to be a hit.
In like 3 days.
In 3 days. We're going to pay the whole amount off. Yeah. But I felt truly blessed
yes.
by that.
Yes.
Because we could have paid it off at that moment anyway, but yeah. we chose not to. We got yeah. a card, yada, yada, yeah. yada. So I was really highly, just felt really yes. blessed and grateful.
Yes.
But you know what? Time goes by so fast. If you don't take the time to do things at that moment.
At the right time.
They yeah. just, it just.
And that's how, and I was discussing this, and people don't even, maybe I'm older to as well, that in the old days, you could like save your messages and things like that and do it tomorrow.
Yeah.
But if you don't do that now, you've got to do things as they come up,
yeah.
no matter if it's in an email,
yep.
preferably a text, you know, but exactly as they come up, you have to deal with it.
Yes.
And again, that wasn't the old days.
No.
It was
no.
like, oh, you know, I'll get to it. And when you hear somebody say that, I think we were doing something yesterday and they said, we don't, we can't get to it right at this moment.
Yes.
But we'll, and we thought, well, gosh, you know, can't do it till tomorrow. But they meant, no, we'll do it before 5.
Right. You know? Exactly right.
Yeah.
And so people are trying to get things done that day
yeah.
because they know that tomorrow comes its own issues.
Yeah.
And if you look at my my list, I have 3 or 4 things that are really quite important to get done
yeah.
that have been on my list for a month.
Yeah.
Easily. And that big, something else comes that's more pressing.
Yes.
And more pressing.
And not more important.
No, just more pressing.
Correct.
I mean, because like right now, we're dealing with 2 things. But one thing is kind of fun.
Which is what?
Well, wait, what are you buying tonight?
Oh.
Yeah, we'll talk about that later.
I was like, what's more fun and pressing?
Yeah, you're like, what's pressing
what's
and
pressing
fun?
What's pressing and fun?
I know.
Our fun, per fun.
One of those things.
Press.
Yeah, exactly.
Funness.
Exactly. So that's kind of what's going on with our life.
Yeah.
You know, we're kind of, well.
Anything else, girlfriend?
Yeah, one thing I wanted to say that I was quite happy with and sad with at the same time.
Okay.
I don't know if we talked about this phenomenon that's been going on Broadway. And I don't know if we talked about it or not.
I don't think we did.
And so it's this idea that so.
Well, it started off politically.
Yeah.
It started off that, you know, Hillary Clinton mm-hmm. and her daughter Chelsea in New York, and they're seeing these Broadway plays.
Yes.
They're kind of on a fun trip.
Right.
And they noticed that where they were sitting during this one Phantom of the Opera performance, or whatever, that there was a pile of poo in the aisle
mm-hmm.
near them.
Yes.
And they were, well, they were gobsmacked.
Yeah.
They were horrified.
Like, oh my God, this is real
that
poo.
That somebody's throwing poo at them.
Yes.
You know, I mean, they're used to being hated and all that
yeah,
stuff.
That's
I don't
not
know.
Uncommon for political yeah. people. Yeah.
And so they thought that this poo was political.
Right.
Political poo.
Political poo.
There you go.
You know, my feeling is if it was an emoji, it would either be poo that came out of a donkey or poo that came out of an elephant.
Right.
It was political poo.
Yes.
But it wasn't. Well, then the people at the Broadway play goes, well, this actually happens 2 or 3 times a week.
Yeah, don't.
Where
don't,
we,
Hillary,
don't think it's personal.
Don't feel that this is personal.
Yeah,
Hillary.
We don't know why, but in the aisles, we sometimes find poo 2 or 3 times a week.
Maybe more.
Maybe more.
Because, you know, that we do 2 performances a day.
Yeah,
however,
we don't understand.
In general, though, it's always on Wednesdays, which is the earlier performance.
Yes.
And so they decided to investigate a little more.
Yes.
And really beknownst to them, mm-hmm. what they realize is that on Wednesdays in the early, you know, late morning, early afternoon is when the older folks come. And the older folks come on
they get
these
like
big
a buses.
Yes.
Yes. Okay.
They get the cheaper tickets. They go out
meal,
to a little
meal
dinner
first.
After. Yeah. Exactly.
Got it. Okay.
Now, Dr. Drew
mm-hmm.
has an opinion on this.
Yes.
I guess you can tell what's going on here. But Dr. Drew suggests, and he said, he knows this to have happened more than once.
Yes. Okay.
Is that older people can poo in their pants and not even know it. So.
And?
After the performance, mm-hmm. on their way out, are down to the to shake hands or whatever, as they stand up and walk down the aisles,
it falls out.
Poo's just falling out.
Yeah. It works its way from the underpants, which usually are no longer tidy whities, but right. boxers just or big, Lucy's.
Yeah.
Lucy's.
Yeah. Lots of times they do like lose weight, but they still use the same clothes.
Yep. The elastic band's not, you know.
Hence all the YouTube videos of the old guys dropping their pants
yep.
as they're dancing with the bride.
Exactly. So I bridal poo. I'm surprised we don't have more bridal poo out there. It'd be like a poo emoji with
wedding
a little,
poo.
Wedding poo. Yeah, yeah, with a little veil on. That'd be cute. Adorable.
You know, whoever thought that there would be an adjective for before poo. But now you realize just kind of like how the Eskimos have 100 different
yep.
words for snow.
Yes, us Americans.
That's what I'm saying.
We've got 100 different adjectives for poo. Gotcha.
Well,
it's
poo?
Funny because I
there's golf
this,
poo.
There's this reel I saved from Instagram, and it was about shit. It said, I don't like your shit. I don't like my shit. I don't like stupid shit. I don't like funny shit. And I'm like, the same thing as poo.
Yeah.
You know? Mm. So I want to say this. I joined the ranks. I did not poo in Broadway. Which I was hoping to do. My opening act.
They say the neon lights are bright.
I take a,
on Broadway.
I did it. I pooed on Broadway. Woo, I made it. You can make it any here. You can make it anywhere. Did not happen. So you came home Wednesday night, something like that. And you had brought Chipotle home. And I'm like, Chipotle.
You were so happy.
I was so happy.
You were like, I hadn't seen you this happy in weeks. And I was like, if that's all it takes to make my little girl happy, I'm going to do it more than once.
Yeah.
But I brought you home Chipotle.
Yes. And I don't usually, Chipotle is new to me.
Yeah.
I think I've only had it like 4 or 5 times.
Right. It's new.
It's new to me.
Yeah.
And so to have it on a weekday was like, what? Mm-hmm. How am I special? Mm-hmm. And so I had some Chipotle. Totally fine. I can only eat half my bowl because it's just too much.
It's a big bowl.
I can only half.
Yeah,
too much. So then I'm like, okay, I save it for later.
But what then, you didn't save for later?
Well, I experienced what other people have talked about with Chipotle, which is you got to talk to a little gurgling in your gut.
That's how it starts out.
I go, oh wait a minute, I'm getting a little gurgling in my gut. This isn't surprising. I only had half a Chipotle. I mean, mm-hmm. it wasn't like I overate. Mm-hmm. And then I go, and I still didn't feel like I had, because we were watching a movie at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, I like to watch this movie before I
what was
go
the
to the
movie?
Bathroom. It was a Gerard Butler movie.
Oh, yeah. Gerard Butler.
And his wife.
Was it Taken? Or
It was kind of like that. His wife is kidnapped.
Yeah.
At a rest area or
it's
a gas
Netflix,
station.
Yeah.
Netflix. I thought it was perfectly enjoyable.
Yeah, for an hour
and a half.
It
was what it was.
Yeah.
The only problem I had was I felt that half the scenes were ad-libbed. They just gave the actors, here's a general idea where we're heading.
Yeah.
Let's just get there.
Yeah.
And so.
So anyway, just to, one of the reasons where his wife gets kidnapped is she stops to go to the bathroom.
Yes. Because she had just had Chipotle.
Stop.
No, she didn't. So I then, right when it's over, I'm like going, oh, I better go to the bathroom. And now because of our dog, a puppy is now living in the bathroom in your guys' bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
I have to then travel 80 feet minimum. The length of the house couldn't be any farther apart to go to the bathroom. So I walk my ass to the bathroom on the other side of the house. And I'm like, but not too bad. Mm-hmm. Not too bad. I drop my drawers. And as soon as I drop my drawers, I felt something come out.
Explosive.
Kinda. But, you know, and I'm like, what was that? That's weird.
Yeah.
And I sat down immediately. You're like, you're trying to hope that you're sitting down and it's, you know, like, oh. And you're like, okay, well.
It's kind of,
my
pants
are clean.
Known as Chipotle chunks.
Yeah, exactly. I'm clean. You know, my pants are clean. My underwear is clean. I'm like, what's going on? I go, felt something really weird happen. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, then I finished my business. I'm like, well, thank God I made it. I'm like, but. I don't understand.
Something
I mean, it was a little messier
unusual.
Back there than usual, but I did an admirable job.
Yeah, okay, job.
Cleaning, you know, yada, okay, yada. Job. So then I stand up, and I realize there's something on the floor. And I'm like, oh my God.
That's where it went.
I grabbed the floor. I grabbed the floor. And I'm like, oh, and I thought, oh, this is who I am now. Mm-hmm. I'm just a person who craps the floor. And I thought to myself, well, you know.
And I said to myself.
Yeah.
What a wonderful world.
I went my whole life without peeing myself because I was drunk. You know, people, I never got.
Yeah.
And I went my whole life without.
And some people do the other thing too while they're drunk.
Yeah, exactly. Went my whole, you know, whole 20s without doing that. Mm-hmm. Felt good. I felt this was never going to be an issue for me. Mm-hmm. But. This was the week that I not only got my favorite meal of Chipotle, I joined the ranks of people who the groups of people who've crapped themselves at Broadway plays. So,
here's the thing. My feeling is that
what was your feeling?
I think in my mind that it's not like the crap that you left on the floor. That's at the Broadway
right,
play.
Right, that's true.
My feeling is that it's just like, I don't know. Yeah, people are just walking out crapping themselves, you know. That's different.
Right.
I would think they'd notice that or something, you know. Right. Somebody would say, get this man a...
get him it was interesting because a couple of weeks ago, Kathy Griffin was being interviewed by Adam Carolla. Very friendly interview. They were good. She's had some cancer issues.
Yeah.
Health issues. But she talks about how when her mom was living with her and living at the nursing home, her mom would base her whole life on going to the bathroom. Oh, I can't go out and do this because I'm going to have to go to the bathroom right away. And I don't want to be too far from the bathroom and all that stuff. And, and Kathy never realized, like, what is this about? Mm-hmm. But as she's getting older, she goes, oh my God, I kind of feel this too, that I'm just going to have to like embrace it. I'm going to get into a, you know, assisted living, you know, where everything's together, you know, and like.
Not too many steps from the bathroom.
Design my whole life around this idea of bathroom issues.
Yeah.
You know? And so I get it. As I'm getting older now, I'm like, man.
I had a friend, this was years ago, but I had a friend whose sister-in-law, I don't know how she convinced the doctors, but she didn't ever want to deal with that. And so she got a bag.
No, you're lying to me. I have never heard this story. You've never told me this story. This is a made up. Someone hypnotized you and put a false memory in.
That is not true.
Okay, tell me the story again.
That what I just said.
You had a friend.
Who had a sister-in-law.
Oh, who had a sister-in-law.
Right.
Okay, not your friend.
You didn't listen to me then.
You're right.
Yeah.
I was too caught up in the idea that she didn't like to poop, so she got a bag.
She just, well, I mean, she was having some issues, but nothing that Linzess or whatever this.
Yeah.
Any commercial would, you know.
Okay, got it.
Would handle nowadays.
Okay.
And she just decided, look, I'm not going to live this way. I'll get a sack or a bag or whatever.
Okay.
And, you know, then we lost touch or whatever. But as far as I know, she was happy as a clam.
Man.
And my best friend used to date a man with a bag.
Mm.
And, you know, she was, you know, they had sex together.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course.
Well, yeah.
Well, what else? But
they had sex apart.
But she just said, you know, you had to make sort of room for it and accommodate it.
Right.
But he would always clean it before they had sex.
Mm. That makes sense.
I'm sure you
nice.
Don't. Yeah, I'm doing you a favor.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny because in my mind,
Where's it attached at?
I'm sure your belly or something.
Okay, got it.
They're always clear. And I don't know if that to be true or not.
Right.
They always feel like they're clear. And I'm like, well, why would they be clear? Why couldn't they just be like a solid color? Like,
oh, I see what you're saying. I agree with you.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure that that's a totally different thing right now.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because, you know, you don't need to see that stuff. I don't want to see it.
Sure, they figured that out.
Yeah, I hope so. You know, maybe it has paisley. I like wouldn't mind a paisley bag. Maybe it would match your
little bow tie on
it. Yeah, maybe it would match what you're wearing. It'd be kind of fun. You can accessorize it. That'd be awesome.
Of course. You could bedazzle it.
Oh, I agree.
Yeah.
I agree. So I saw my niece's basketball game for the first time last week.
Yes.
And I often enjoyed the hell of it, out of it. It was awesome.
To see these little girls play.
Yeah. Now, if I didn't have skin in the game, like if I didn't know anybody on it, mm-hmm. I don't think I would enjoy it. I'd be like, yeah. Okay, what am I watching here?
Yeah.
But it's sort of like when they say, put some money on the Super Bowl, then you'll like the Super Bowl much more. You'll be more, got a little skin in the
engaged
game.
Engaged in it.
Yeah. Yes. So I knew a couple of the players. And so then I had a little more skin in the game. And I'm like, you go. I'm like, yeah, you go, go, go. I'm yelling out players' names. Turn around. Look, you know, felt good. And
that's great.
It was really just
sweet.
One of the best Saturdays I've had in a long time.
You know, one of the things that when you told me about this, mm-hmm. one of the things that I appreciated so much, mm-hmm. Considering when I played basketball as a kid, mm-hmm. is that we played like real minutes in the game.
Yeah.
These guys only did like...
They're 7-minute quarters.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
That would have been doable for me.
Yeah. I don't know how long... Did we play 15-minute quarters? Is that what they were?
I think so.
Yeah. No, they were 7-minute quarters. It was like boom, 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 boom. Yeah. I'm like, oh, that's not bad.
No.
You know, this feels kind of good.
Yeah. I bet you could be done in an hour.
For sure. For sure. You know?
So you loved it.
I did. I so loved it. And it's like, I want to go next. You know, I'm debating. I want to go again. I can go tomorrow. I was already invited to go the next one. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, well, I can go. I can make this work, mm-hmm. you know. But then I go to the point like, well, I don't want them to feel obligated. You know, like when has it become an obligation for them to invite me? You know,
I don't want to. It just wants to be free.
I want to be free.
Natural.
Yeah. If I can go, I can go.
Yeah. Well, you know, when we're talking about your niece. Mm-hmm. But she was coming home from swimming practice mm-hmm. last week, and your brother called up to say hi during the drive, and you were practicing your ukulele, and so we thought, let's just sing a song to Lillian.
Yes,
and you said, let's just open up the book, the songbook, and we sang "Riding on the City of New Orleans."
Yes.
Now I love Arlo Guthrie. And his dad was Woody Guthrie, who big folk singer.
And, they both were, right?
Oh, yeah. Arlo Guthrie as well.
Wouldn't it be surprising? I don't want to cut your story off. I'll get back to your story.
Sure.
You know, you know that guy who paint all the paintings that of like the light paintings?
Yes.
You know, what was his name? Kincaid.
Yes.
Okay. And everything was supposed to be so spiritual and God-driven and all that stuff. And then to find out he had a real dark side, like mm-hmm. he did a lot of cocaine and mm-hmm. like had a lot of women and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. And were you not like floored when you heard that?
Yeah, that he had mental issues.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, that's a nice way of saying it. Yeah.
I think he was an alcoholic.
Oh, was he?
Okay. I think so.
Yeah.
I'm not really sure. But yeah, he had lots of issues. I think what happened too is it went from being like, wow, this is cool. We're looking for another guy that paints light, you know?
Okay, to
and
a
then
business.
All of a sudden it was a business.
Yes.
And everything was Kincaid-esque.
Number this, got to have a number of prints of that.
Yeah. 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 I mean, and even like our calendars or whatever. I mean, anything.
Thomas Kincaid, yes.
Thomas Kincaid. Yes. There's a Thomas Kincaid lamp. There's like, you know, really light lamp. You know, well wouldn't it be great as a brand? You know, and then all of a sudden it just it just dumbed itself down.
You're right. And I'll talk more about that. I wanted you to finish your story. Now you probably can't remember what
the story. No, I remember. Okay. No, but I thought it was really interesting because, you know, I was over, you know, sitting here, we were apart when you were singing, and I was just singing along because I knew the words to Riding on the City, and you were singing from the thing, and there's a line in it, mm-hmm. and it something about boxcars pulling bags. Basically, it describes a trip of this train ride,
right,
off from where we live, mm-hmm. all the way down the Mississippi to New Orleans.
Yes,
and it's an Arlo Guthrie folk song,
right,
and. And then there's one line that is something like there's graveyards full of old black men or something like that.
Yeah, I thought it was train cars.
Train cars full of, but there was something full of old black men.
Yes.
And I, you know, I said it And you looked at me like, and you changed it to like, I think gray or something.
No, I said all, just to men.
You did. Okay, you did. And I went, what the, after we hung up, I went, what the hell was that?
Yeah.
Why did you, and you went, I didn't, I wanted to be woke or something.
And I'm sure you didn't say it like that. But I just said, no, I felt uncomfortable saying that line. I don't know why. You know?
And I thought
I just
that was,
felt uncomfortable.
I thought that was.
Yeah, I mean, I just felt uncomfortable saying that line.
Was it because you felt uncomfortable or you felt that that your niece would be uncomfortable hearing
it? I think my niece and my brother would have been not triggered by that line, but it would have pulled you out of the song.
Really?
Yes.
And see, I was like shocked that you changed.
Were you really
it.
Shocked?
I totally was shocked.
Well, okay.
In fact, it still is in my memory because, I mean, these are folk songs.
Yeah.
And folk songs, I mean, I don't even know if anybody does folk songs anymore.
No,
it's an, you know, an era of delight for me, you know.
Oh, yeah, and I hope you didn't think I was trying to, I hope you didn't think I was judging the song, because I wasn't.
That's what I felt.
Oh, no, I did not at all. I just didn't want to say old black men. That's all I didn't want to say.
Mm-hmm.
I felt like if they would have written that song a day, they probably wouldn't have had that line in there, you know? And I just, I don't know. I just,
yeah.
I could be totally wrong.
Yeah.
There's no moral judgment here on this.
But there kind of is, though. It just feels
Why?
Like it.
You're making it towards me?
No.
For not saying
no,
it, or I'm making it towards a song?
No, I just wonder if you felt uncomfortable. That's a big clue.
If I sang this song while I was practicing my ukulele, I would have said the line as is.
In front of people.
I don't know.
Got it.
Because I think it would have taken them. I think now.
See, and I would have had no problem just singing the song as is, no
right.
matter what.
Right. Yeah.
No matter what. I mean, if you were singing a hymn about Jesus.
Yeah.
Are you going to be worried about offending all the people that don't believe in Jesus?
Well, that's very interesting. No, I'm not. I don't think.
Yeah.
That's kind of a weird thing. It's not the same kind of correlation.
It's not?
No. Because.
Jesus loves me. This I know.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So if I chose. Okay. If I was singing, I would not choose to sing that song if Greg married a Jewish woman and they raised their kids Jewish. They didn't. I wouldn't pick that song, Jesus Loves Me, This I Know.
Because you're afraid of hurting their feelings.
No, I'm not because of that. I just not about hurting anybody's feelings. I'd
okay.
just be like, why do it?
So you're just like, I don't have to do it, so I may not do it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Got it.
I really think
it's no big deal that I did or didn't do it.
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
But now that you bring it up, I feel like I'm attacked. No, I don't know at all. I wish I knew the right answer. The truth is there is no right answer.
Yeah.
It's just really.
Well, I kind of, there are things in the world that you, at least for me and you, like we were listening to Howie Mandel's podcast.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And, you know, I kind of never did like him.
Right.
But I am liking him now as he's older, I'm older. We almost basically have the same sensibilities.
Right.
I believe, mm-hmm. you know. And he and his daughter have a podcast, which is kind of cool.
Yeah.
Like me and you.
Yeah.
Just me.
I mean, come on. The reason why is because it's time that you get to spend with your family.
It is true.
And you're fortunate to actually talk to each other.
Although they get to interview celebrities and
right.
things like that.
Exactly.
You know?
It's a little different.
I mean, we could if we wanted to, but I don't know.
I don't either.
What is a celebrity anyway?
Exactly.
Really?
Yeah.
How would you define it?
I don't know.
I don't know either.
Well, there's so many celebrities. So
that's right.
You're a celebrity in my life.
Yeah.
Well, it's funny you say that because when I went to the game on Saturday, somebody else there said, I was literally thinking you were a celebrity as much as Lillian was asking you to come to this game. Like, my Aunt Julie's coming to this game. My Aunt Julie's coming to my game. I can't wait till my Aunt Julie's in my game. And I'm like, oh, I'm really far. But I had far from a celebrity, but I had great hair that day.
You had great hair.
I had great hair. My hair looked really nice and sharp that day. So I felt pretty.
You were a celebrity in that way.
I was. I felt pretty.
But so I'm going to go back to the Howie thing.
Okay, go
because
for it.
He is a personal friend, and I'm going to just throw this name out. Many people may not know it from the Bravo universe.
Mm-hmm.
It's Tom Sandoval.
Yes,
and he's friends with Tom.
Yes,
so he had Tom on.
He's friendly. They know each other. They like each other. Yeah. They've been to a wedding together and so forth. Yeah.
Yeah, they do know each other. So mm-hmm. they would stop on the street and chit-chat, have a cup of coffee.
Yeah.
That kind of friendship.
Yeah.
So basically, this was Tom Sandoval's first big interview.
Yes.
In like a year, maybe. I'm not really sure. But ever since the Tom Scandoval came out.
Yes.
And for all you Bravo people that already know, I can recommend hearing this podcast.
Yes.
You know? And I think the reason I'm bringing this up is because so many people are on both sides of the fence.
Yes.
And...
But mostly, tell the whole story.
Well, I was kind of hoping you would tell the whole story.
Oh, okay, fine. So on Vanderpump Rules...
You do so much better
than me. I doubt
it.
So on Vanderpump Rules...
And I do so much better just adding in the extra...
The color, I get it.
Thank you.
Okay, so on Vanderpump Rules...
You're the cake, I'm the icing.
There you go. Sometimes I'm a little dry.
You're the candle, I'm the fire.
Exactly. Sometimes I'm rising too much. In Vanderpump Rules...
Yes.
Which... This long-term couple, it's all about the employees of this one bar and how they've grown up and they've done other things and so forth.
Yes.
And there's one static couple, Ariana and Tom Sandoval, whatever his
Sandoval.
Name. Sandoval.
I said Scandoval because it's a...
Funny.
Scandal.
Yes, yeah, exactly. Yeah. And it just broke that after 9 or 10 years, he's been having an affair with another cast member. Who comes across as this angel, you know, initially.
Yes.
And now we're like, oh, what's going on? and so forth. But when you hear everybody else talk about it, you hear about like how Tom is just this biggest dick in the world.
Yes.
And he really hurt Ariana. That's his partner.
Yes.
And then, but when you hear the interview, his interview and his side.
Yes.
You get a real full perspective of what's going on.
Yeah.
And how,
a lot of it is, he makes no bones about that this is a reality show.
Yeah.
And so they're always conscious about their, can I put in rabbit ears? Or
yes. This makes me sick.
Their brand.
He goes, I know what our brand is. And I'm just like, if I fucking hear another person mention their life as their brand. I'm going to literally.
Yeah.
It makes me nuts.
It's like, you know, how dare you? I'm an influencer of my brand.
Yeah. How dare you?
Yeah.
I have a brand to protect.
Yeah.
How dare you?
Well, what is your brand?
What? Yeah, exactly.
What is it?
And
can I go to Walmart and buy it?
Yeah, exactly. And it's like.
And in this case, Tom Sandoval does have.
Yes, he has it all.
Yeah.
It's like crazy. Mm-hmm. But they were the couple, and maybe they get invited to do opening of restaurants or bars, and they get paid as that.
Mm-hmm.
But they weren't necessarily anymore. They were a long-term couple mm-hmm. without being the it thing. It's sort of like, kind of like me and Doug. We are together, but we're not together. We're together, mm-hmm. but not together, mm-hmm. you know? I'm more together with you and my dad than I am with Doug, you know, mm-hmm. and so forth. So I can see how at some point Tom is saying, like, I wasn't happy.
Right.
And we went to counseling together and we're trying to move apart.
And he said they have a $1 million house. And they share
it. More than that.
They have to. It's got several levels.
And the reason why I say it's more than $1 million home is because I've seen what like $1 million goes for in California.
That's a little ranch.
It's like a piece, you know, it's just a crap home, you know.
Yeah.
That needs to be redone and sold for $1.5 million or whatever.
Right.
So, but yeah. So I'm just like, okay.
But they shared a home.
Yeah.
And he said that they've been, sort of disengaged for a while, but because they were a brand, they would have to appear together,
right?
And make it look. Yeah. It's not that there was they never got married, and it wasn't as if there was any animosity.
No,
it really just was a growing apart, and Tom felt stifled,
by
that,
yeah.
Whereas Ariana felt secure,
right?
Because Who knows why?
I understand completely, though. You know, I get it. But it was a very thoughtful, I think they did a good job. And it wasn't just a 20-minute interview. It was an hour and 10 minutes, mm-hmm. hour and 15 minutes. Mm-hmm. So they got enough out and enough truth out that you got a whole picture. And a couple things that I took away from this. First off, Andy Cohen, the only reason why I went to this podcast because Andy Cohen referenced it mm-hmm. on his show. Did you hear that? Did you hear Tom Sandoval on, you know,
yeah.
on Howie Mandel's yeah. podcast?
Yeah.
What do you think of it? Goes, you know, I don't listen to that stuff. Yada yada yada. I'm like, of course you wouldn't listen to it because, I mean, Lala said she didn't listen to it, and I'm like, well, of course you wouldn't listen to it because it would give you a more fuller view.
Yeah.
And you couldn't have a hard line.
Her brand.
It would hurt her brand. Which is the wounded woman.
Tough wounded woman.
Yeah, tough wounded woman. And then I just go, I am so effing sick and tired of people mentioning their lives as brands. Mm-hmm. I can't even take it.
Yeah.
It makes me just nauseous.
Yeah.
But what you just realize is that everybody is flawed. We all do our best.
Yeah.
And we're also, all trying for the day.
If somebody said, what side do you fall on?
Yeah.
With the Tom Sandoval. Is it
Ariana?
Ariana?
Yeah.
You know, issue. Now that I've listened to that, and I wouldn't have, I really wouldn't have wanted to make a choice.
Yeah.
But now that I've listened to that side, as to what the side Bravo is editing,
right.
And presenting,
that's exactly right. That's exactly right.
Yeah.
I'm more on Tom's side.
I would be more on Tom's side, saying, okay, yes, you did wrong by hiding an affair,
right?
You know,
with not coming clean of like saying I'm really unhappy, and this affair is making me happier right now,
right?
And it's only because we listen to Dan Savage though that our opinion of affairs have probably softened,
probably.
You know,
yeah.
So I don't feel as it's like
the thing is he's getting. Because, and here's why I bring this up, is that he's getting so much blowback.
Yes.
I mean, like death threats.
Oh, yeah.
And he, you know, he can't go anywhere where, like, his car's not keyed and, you know, all of this stuff. And they still share the same house.
Yeah.
He and Ariana do, but they have agreed that they won't be in the, like, they'll text each other, I'm going to our gym now.
Yeah.
Which is in their basement or whatever, and stay out you know, until I work out or whatever, you know.
It's all crazy because when it, like, what you're getting the impression, like, he just said, he was very kind to her. I mean, I think he was truthful and kind.
Yes.
He wasn't bashing her.
No.
But at one point he says, what did he say that just kind of made me cringe a little bit? It was just this idea that, I had a good thought and I lost it. That's too bad. That's too bad. But, it was just this idea that everything is a story plot to Bravo and it doesn't feel true.
Right.
None of it feels true anymore.
Right.
And, oh, this is what it was. He goes, I'm really happy for Ariana because she's really blowing up right now. And mom, you ask me, what the hell does that mean? I go, it means her social media sites and her web, you know, is blowing up, you know, getting more views and people are following her.
That
goes,
she never would have had.
And he wouldn't have had this thing. And I go, I'm so happy for her that this. Yeah. I'm like, what is going on?
Yeah, and all these people are now like, oh, Ariana, you know, you're wounded and now we have something to.
Yeah.
To align with you on.
I don't know, but it all just makes me crazy inside. Yeah. It does. I just don't get it.
No.
And
we just, you know.
I don't get why people have spent the time to follow any of these people, really.
I don't either.
I mean, like, but I follow people all the time on Instagram, on Reels. Typically not famous people.
Mm-hmm.
They're not on my Reels, but I'm like, oh, sure, I'll follow you because I want to see more at night.
But yet, you know, a lot of the old folk songs was about not feeling like you understood the world anymore.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
I do. Well, but what if you said Guthrie?
Arlo Guthrie? Woody?
Woody. Arlo Guthrie. And Woody Guthrie. Uh-huh. I mean, what would if you have found out? I mean, if they were like the worst people ever, would you have been heartbroken?
No, because they don't. They're not.
Yeah.
They're not. They're in the same era to me as Peter, Paul, and Mary, right. and that whole...
Which is your flawed...
James Taylor.
But you do your best, you're trying to move forward.
Yeah.
Well, it's interesting because I watched a documentary that I can highly recommend. You didn't see it. You didn't want to see it. But called Jesus Music.
Oh, yeah. I
it was on Hulu.
It wasn't that I didn't want to see it.
It was on FX. It was on FX. I so enjoyed this documentary.
Oh, cool.
And one reason why is that it shows how there's always the a-holes in any field that takes what's good and twists it into a commodity or a brand that you no longer can be real.
See, there you go again. That's the truth.
That's the truth. And so they featured Amy Grant, who kind of easily made the transition from Christian music, Christian rock to pop stuff. And then she ends up getting a divorce and marrying Vince Gill.
But wasn't she married to Garth Brooks first?
No. Different person. Totally.
You sure?
Yeah, 100%. They were not married to Garth Brooks.
Okay.
And at that time when she got divorced and married Vince Gill.
Oh, yeah.
The Christian.
That was a scandal. I remember that now.
Scandal. You know, and her people were trying to protect her while other people were like saying, get away from me. I can't have your stink on me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, this is Amy Grant, for heaven's sakes, you know. And
that's the tough part about that religious Christianity.
Well, because in the beginning, when Jesus Music started to come up it started happening literally right after Woodstock.
Oh, yeah.
And what you had were these people who were in Woodstock who found Jesus and they were like, I want to share how great Jesus is with the world.
Yes.
He's a forgiver. He's a forgiver. Amen.
Jesus is just all right by me.
Yeah. And they were like, Jesus, you don't have to do drugs, because they were doing drugs and they were seeing their counterparts dying of drugs. And Jesus can be your drug.
Yeah.
And then it gets turned around and now you got to be, you know, you can't be human.
Yeah.
You know, you're just this. And then the Christian, and then it was a very fascinating documentary. But at one point, Amy Grant's being attacked by the Christian TMZ, whatever that is.
I don't know that one.
I don't know. But they're like saying, so Amy, how could you? How dare you? What do you say to your fans when they feel disappointed by you getting divorced and all that stuff? And she says, I'm like, oh, I've done more worse things than that, but thank God Jesus forgives and Jesus loves me. I'm like, yes. Amen, hallelujah.
Yes.
And then Michael B. Smith, I think his name is. I don't know. I could be wrong on the name, but I think it's Smith. He's a real popular Christian singer as well. He kind of transitioned into the pop as well. But they were talking about how in the beginning it was folksy, mm-hmm. the music.
Yeah.
And then it became this big industry and very much ego-driven.
Mm.
And then,
oh, okay.
And then later, he was talking about how I had this dream, and then I had a calling where I really felt that Jesus was saying, "You need to make another album, and it's got to be about worship."
Mm-hmm.
And then he didn't do anything, and then got another calling. God, you need to make another calling about worship.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, "So I made another album. It was just about worship, and now the music is just about worshiping Jesus.
Yes,
it's not about me, my ego. Mm-hmm. It's not about look at me. It's almost like you don't have to. We don't even want to know the band names. It's like it's just about loving God.
I've actually tuned into religious, not religious, but you know." Programs where they do like 30 minutes of worship before
worship music before
the sermon starts.
It's elevates.
Yeah.
And one of the things they were talking about, though, they were saying how for whatever reason still there's a lot of separation in Christian rock music of and there's a magazine called Christian Rock or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And our Christian Contemporary Rock.
One song that I really like is by Third Day.
Yeah.
Like Jesus Rose from the Third. On the, on the
and
third
it's
day.
About, you know, my heart's such on a fire. Good, but it's, like that. Yeah, soul's on fire. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a good song.
It's a good song. It's a good song.
Yeah.
So I can honestly say that Jesus Music was a great documentary. You're going to go away feeling like everything else, which is the individual's journey with Christ or in any journey that you go through,
mm-hmm.
is always a well-rounded, sweet journey.
Mm-hmm. If you let it be.
If you let it be.
Otherwise, you can get sidetracked.
Yeah. The systems are always set up to take more from you than they give.
Yeah. You're like, hey, I really am doing good. I'm spending a lot of time with Jesus. Maybe I can brand myself.
Yeah. Maybe I can brand myself.
Maybe I hear God saying, hey, you better go. You better blow this up.
Yeah. Blow this social media up. Well, that's great because, you know, we've...
Blow up your brand.
Because, you know, here we are. You've been channeling Padre Pio, and we've been doing some meditation with Padre Pio. And then just by chance on my reels, I get...
By chance.
I wasn't searching for Padre Pio stuff.
No.
They just... My phone heard me talk about it. And it was all about, like, hey, Shia LaBeouf is a new... LaBeouf, whatever her name is.
And you told me that, and I said, there's no way
Shia LaBeouf.
That Shia LaBeouf is going to be Padre Pio.
I go,
I know Padre Pio, and Shia LaBeouf is no Padre Pio.
He's no Padre Pio. I'm like, okay, mama.
But then Padre Pio said, just let it be. It'll be fine.
Whoever comes to me through any different channel is welcome.
Yes.
So
when I was growing up, my favorite folk song was Michael Row the Boat Ashore. Hallelujah.
Michael Row the Boat Ashore. Hallelujah.
Sister
the Boat Ashore.
The River Jordan is chilly and cold. Something like that. The river is long and the river is wide.
Yeah. It was funny, on one of my reels, I had a guy come up and said, Jesus is coming right now, and the end of the world is happening because the phrase river is drying up, something like that. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh my God, is it really drying up? So I had to Google search that. And it's, you know, it's going through its stuff. But if you would listen to this guy on the reels and would have taken what he said literally at this moment, mm-hmm. you'd like...
It wouldn't be a good way to start your day.
It wasn't a good way. I like it when my little Viking dude in his flannel pants comes on.
I love him.
Still snowing out, which I don't get.
Yeah.
But he comes out and he breathes deeply.
And I love his little V.
And I'm like,
he's topless.
Good morning, beautiful.
Good morning, beautiful.
You're talking to me.
You have a good day.
You have a good day.
You're gonna make it a good day.
So, girlfriend, how was the show today?
Well, I guess you know the song I always play when I get up every morning.
Mm-mm.
You don't?
I do. You change it, but I do.
But what do you think it is?
Well, right now you're at a stage where you're going, I'll rise up in spite of the day. I'll rise up. No, I'll rise up. And I know why.
Do it
all again. Well, you used to like that song, and mm-hmm. then you stopped singing it because it was kind of a very emotional song.
Mm-hmm.
Then I showed you this reels of this guy doing a trampoline act on steps to that song.
Yeah.
And you're like, what am I watching? I don't know.
I'm going back to my song. I'm going back, girl.
I'm going back. How's the song? How is the show, girlfriend?
It was great.
I
want to say hi to Cousin Jamie.
Hi, Cousin Jamie.
And my son, Gregory.
Yeah.
And it was great.
It was great.
It was great. It was great. It was great. It was great.